He's risen. Indeed, that's the word I'm looking for. Just before I start, I've been really struggling with this because personally, in my own individual life, the empty tomb hasn't really meant what I think it should have meant. But so I've wrestled with some things, but I think God's given me something good for this. I just wanted to say, before Jesus came, before he died, before he rose again, before all those things, I just wanted to say that God had everything covered. I just think it is so amazing. When you think the gospel message itself is very simple, but the implications of the gospel are incredibly complex. The things that go on in the heavenlies between demons and angels, for example, we only get a glimpse of those things. But nevertheless, those things, because the Bible says that his heavenly host is warring all the time over us. So we are really special to God. It sounds arrogant, but we are his prize creation. And where was I? I got a bit overwhelmed with that. Anyway, he thought about every little thing. And Satan is not a fool. Satan is quite clever. And Satan took over this earth, as we know, through Adam and Eve. And all the generations down to Jesus, he kind of rules here. You know, we don't like to say that. We say, oh, no, we're victorious. But without Jesus, Satan rules here, you know. And Jesus came on his turf, on Satan's turf, to this place, lived a humble man. You see, straight away, there was something that isn't normal. If it was us, we would come and say, right, I'm here now, I take over. But he came just as a humble carpenter. And through the divine nature, he overcome every single little hitch that Satan might be able to nail on him. He could have said, oh, but you haven't covered that, you haven't covered that. But Jesus covered everything. So I just think that is just an amazing, amazing fact. And one of the things that he thought about with this Resurrection Sunday is that for us Christians, us believers, we're not really looking for proof that God exists. I just like to say that because I think if we're still looking for proof, we've missed something. Our lot in life is to hear God's word and obey it. That's all we're concerned about is, Jesus, what are you saying? Have I missed you? Whereas the unbeliever is saying, well, you've got to show me the proof first. And that's not our priority, to be honest. Now, you're probably wondering, where am I getting with this? But this is what the empty tomb is about. Because when the Lord first introduced himself to me, I don't know how else to put it, but kind of called me, that sounds a bit arrogant and a bit high, but I heard something, and it was enough to change my whole life. So I'm not looking for proof, but the empty tomb is that proof that the world needs, so that when we go around talking about the resurrected Christ, they're going to think, the resurrected Christ, you know, how do you know he's risen, you know? You might believe it, but what's going to convince me? Well, the empty tomb is the one fact of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. I think it's the strongest evidence that Jesus is who he says he is. I'm sure Paul will confirm some of those things, that Jesus had all those things as well. Nobody can call him a liar for anything. But that empty tomb, I mean, where did that body go? If all these disciples had really followed Jesus, do you think they would have hidden away and run the risk of being persecuted for the rest of their lives? Well, how do you explain it? And I've sort of come to the end here, but the little bit, actually a friend of mine from Margate, South Africa, sent me a little text. He's a real theologian, this guy. He's always sending little nuggets, you know. And he didn't know that I was going to say this morning. And he just put down the reason for the folded headcloth. For those of you that don't know, when Jesus rose again, there was his grave clothes all just in a heap, but the headpiece was folded neatly in the right place. And to Jewish people, that means a lot, because when the master of the house, if he had a servant, if he brought him food, if he'd finished his food, I'm trying to cut this short, the master would get the table napkin, just fold it in a ball and chuck it on the table. In other words, I've finished, you can come and clear away now. But if he folded it neatly, it meant I've either gone to the loo or I've gone on an urgent little call, but I will be back. And I think that is so great. He left that there to tell us he's coming back.
I don't know how you follow that. That was spot on. The empty tomb. Whenever I think of the empty tomb, I just want to read this passage from Luke, because this is all the Easter Sunday services I've been to over the years. This is just the one that stands out. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down on their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered these words. Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? I think the empty tomb, Jesus is alive. He is risen from the dead. Death has been defeated. It's just amazing. Death has been defeated. And not only that, Jesus is still with us. We don't serve a dead God. Our religion's not dead. You look at other religions around the world, the founders, they were normal human beings who died. Ours God came to earth. He died and came back from the dead. It's amazing. I love the passage in Revelation 1, the vision of the risen Jesus, the one like a Son of Man. And we see in this verse, the Son of Man must be delivered. Jesus was the Son of Man, and we see in this amazing vision all the attributes of the risen Jesus. And I won't go into that here, but we just see him as an almighty king, the perfect priest. Oh, just, he's going to come again in judgment. Just how forceful, how amazing he is. And that's the God that we serve. He's not dead, he is alive. He's ascended to heaven. And in that vision of Jesus, it says that Jesus, the risen Lord, he stood among the seven lampstands. And he told at the end of the passage that seven lampstands are the seven churches. In other words, it represents the church universal, the church now, in the future, in the whole of history. The risen Jesus is amongst his people. He hasn't abandoned us. He is with us there. I think just what Johnny said, the evidence as well, people have tried to disprove the resurrection. Many in doing so have come to know Jesus because of the evidence that's there. I heard a speaker, and he did labour the point, but it was a good few years ago, and he just argued the point. He said, "We've got Easter all wrong." I'm like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, everyone on Good Friday comes with solemn faces, looking a bit miserable. And obviously it's a serious thing, but it's Good Friday. Our sin has been paid for. But because we all come on Easter Sunday, he's alive, everyone's happy. And it's a wonderful thing to celebrate." But he said, "The fact that Jesus is alive means a decision has to be made. He's not only alive, but he's coming back again. And he's going to come to judge us, the living and the dead, for eternal life, heaven or hell." The fact that Jesus is risen means that we have to make a decision. You cannot be neutral. You're either for him or against him. And I think just the empty tomb to me, just when we see people around us, people who don't know him, the fact that he is coming back and people need to know and make a decision.
I'm just going to share about what God's been speaking to me about recently and how it fits in with the tomb. I'm going to read it because I can't remember it. So the first thing is that Jesus has paid it all, and the resurrection was completely supernatural. We played no part in it. Jesus' new body is like the new life we have when we are forgiven by God. Our sin is gone. Our shame is gone. The condemnation has now been removed. The approval of people doesn't matter, because God's opinion is only important. All of mankind is helpless without the saving power of the resurrection, but all of mankind is also loved enough for Jesus to die for them. A couple of months ago, I felt that God showed me a picture. It was a bit of a weird picture, but it was a picture of like pegs on a washing line. And I think all of us are a bit like a peg on a washing line. There's nothing really that special about us, but we have different roles. We hang up different things. And some people try and make their pegs look better than other people's pegs. But to be honest, it doesn't make any difference because we're all pegs. And I think what Jesus has done is he's picked up the broken pegs and he's made us and put us back on the washing line where we should be, and he's using us. But we have really nothing to be proud of because it's all what God has done. This truth should free us to walk in humility because we're not any better or any worse than anyone else. The resurrection makes it all about Jesus and not about us, so we can't boast. We are set free from ourself, and instead of drawing our attention to ourself, we can live a life that draws attention to God. It doesn't depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. And secondly, the empty tomb gives us hope instead of despair. Jesus endured the cross for the joy set before him. What was that joy? It was a relationship with those that would choose it from him. The tomb opened a way for relationship with God that is more satisfying than any human friendship. It's joy for God, and it's also joy for us because it's what we were made for. We were made to worship him. This hope is also eternal, and so it gives us a reason to rejoice if the going gets tough. Despair is forgetting that God specializes in the impossible and is able to do all things. But hope is holding on to what God has promised he will do. And I think if you have been a Christian for a long time, it's easy to forget what despair is. But I think that all living without hope is. But so I'm at university and I see all around me what life is like when you don't have hope, because you put your hope in other things and it's really quite sad. But we have a hope that is steadfast and that is certain, and it never changes.
I've got to follow three of them. And as you will discover, I am no theologian. I've never claimed to be. I am a simple man. And I'm quite happy with that. I don't think I've ever been asked the question. So when Russ said to me, can you say something about what the empty tomb means to you? That's a question that's never been asked to me before. So it just made me think, ooh, well, what does it? And then the first thing that came into my head was a song. It's an old hymn. Well, it's not an old hymn. It was 1960s, because I've actually read up this morning about where the origins were. And it was a family, Bill Gaither and his wife. They'd had, I think she was expecting their first child in the 60s, and the 60s was just kicking off. There was the racial tension in America. There was drug culture was kicking off, and she was thinking, why do I want to bring a child into this world? And she was full of despair, and she sat on her own in the living room and came up with this. So I'm just going to read it. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Saviour lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. That just sums it up for me. And there's so much in that. As I say, I'm not a theologian. But for me to hold on to that and know that whatever happens, it doesn't matter. Relationships, money, health, it's insignificant. Because he lives, because that empty grave, because he lives, whatever happens tomorrow, I can walk into that with the certainty and the assurance that Jesus is with me. And that, I can't ask for more than that. Because in my own humanness, I struggle with that. I think, well, how? But I know. Because he lives. That's all we need to know, guys. It's not rocket science. That empty tomb, he's done that for everyone in here. And he knows. Nobody, when you become a Christian, it's not a ticket to an easy life at all. Far from it. There's all sorts of stuff going to get thrown at you, and you will go through troubles. But be assured, because he lives, you can face tomorrow. It might be tough, but he will be with you. And I think that's an amazing truth. And for me, just on my journey, there's times when, yeah, we all feel rubbish and we feel low. But just remember who's with you, who's behind you, who's in front of you. And I'm going to read a verse from Romans, because he's in you as well. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to you, to your mortal bodies, through his spirit who lives in you. So that same power that raised Christ from the dead, it's in there. So you're not just walking with Jesus around before. He's in you. How can we fail? We can't. We have the hope. So I'm not going to ramble on. We're going to break bread now. Again, I think just 20 seconds. Close your eyes. Make sure you're right with God. It's a special day. Every day is a special day on this earth. So just get yourself right with God. Anything you might have done this week or in the past few weeks, you stuffed up, you made a mistake, you've stepped out of line, go to your dad and say, sorry, dad.